Portland, Rick Emerson. He's back. Only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Never had it, never will.
The never had it, never will, Christina, that's a reference to the Uncola Man. The Uncola Man was a man of Jamaican extraction who hawked 7-Up back in the Southland Corporation. 7-Up back in the day. He had the white linen suit, looked like he was had the governorship of American Samoa.
Question for you.
Yeah.
When is back in the day?
Back in the day? Back in the day is any time preceding January 11th, 1991.
Why that date?
Because I just decided that just now.
Oh, okay.
Back in the day varies for people.
Yeah, it varies
like,
for people.
Like, do I have a back in the day?
Yeah, but it's...
You were six.
Yeah, you were like two. You were a zygote. I would say for me, and I can speak only for me because Matt's right, it's all relative. It's like... It's kind of like the Heisenberg uncertainty principle, which relates to the definition of the placement of any atom or electron. Back in the day... varies according to individuals. I would say for me, back in the day is any time preceding 1995. Which may seem recent, but that's 7 years ago. That's almost two presidential administrations ago.
See, I think that's when my back in the day would start as well.
Nah, but your back in the day is retarded. That was just going to college. That doesn't count.
I wasn't even going to college then.
No, but here's the...
Like, my back in the day was going to college.
Why do you have to start today by putting me on the down, sister?
I'm just dragging you along, so... I don't know.
Again, with the negative energy. Here's the thing about back in the day. Something is not back in the day until the status of of said day is discernibly different from the status of the way things are now.
Okay.
In other words, I don't know, 1995 might feasibly be considered back in the day for you because it was all with the grunge and with the Clinton, and now it's all with the slick, uninteresting pop music and the Bush. So now, 95 may be back in the day, 96 no, because when 96 things started to change, and 96 is not too different from 98 or 2000.
Okay.
So back in the day just, I think, refers to a state of cultural being that's discernibly different from the state of cultural being in which we currently exist. This is why I barely graduated from high school, because everybody else was sitting there talking about protons, and I was in the back room trying to figure out exactly what point, like, when did Metallica jump the shark? At what album? Like, at what week in my existence did Metallica begin to suck? And with a slide rule and a protractor. You know what I mean? Like, in the back with graph paper. Let's see, Master of Puppets was released on... All right. And nothing's released anymore. Stuff drops. Nothing is popular. Stuff blows up. So hard to stay current.
Well, no. Things become popular, but to become popular, they have to blow up.
Right. Is that true? Okay, yeah.
Blowing up is the state of becoming popular.
So it's not having... Okay, but so you have blown up, though.
You have blown up.
You blow up, and then you have blown up.
Right.
Excellent. Man, I don't want to be old. I just don't, man. I'm just dragging my feet. You know what I'm doing with age? Age is like the cop trying to bust you at the DNC in 68. And here's me, just passive resistance, making my body all heavy so it's hard for the cop to drag me off. You know what I'm talking about. You do that that hippie maneuver, that ride the snake thing where you do the, you link arms around the waist so the cops can't bust the line. That's what I'm talking about. I just made like 17 references that Christina doesn't understand in like 35 seconds.
I'm kind of tracking.
What am I referring to when I say DNC 68?
You know.
Your mom's a teacher. Right at this very moment, she is listening and she is filled with shame
at
your lack of knowledge.
Exactly.
All right. Anyway, 6 minutes, 18 seconds after the hour of noon, and this is the month of November, in the year of our Lord, 2002. It is Friday. It's the day after Thanksgiving. We are live, as is our wont, providing you yet another slice of all-American entertainment. Because that's what we do here on the Rick Emerson Show. We provide a nonstop, never-ending, always exciting, constantly surprising cavalcade of whimsy. That I'm talking about. Oh? 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Those are the phone numbers. 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. You can also drop us an email at rick@rickemerson.com. Coming up today, we got another top five, another edition of How Chicks Think with Jolie from the front desk. Something else. Wait, hold on. Christina's sister will be here. I knew there was something exciting happening today. And quite possibly Jim Roop from CNN Radio. You have to hang on that. This, however, is Tim Riley's in the KFK Newsroom.
From the KOTK Newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
And this news is brought to you by AT&T Broadband. Yes, it's fun and informative. It's computer time. Saturday morning, 8 till 10, brought to you by AT&T Broadband Internet, giving the time to simplify your life. What's happening today? Everybody's out there shopping. Let's ask this young lady if she's worried about the economy.
It's just Christmas. You don't worry in Christmas. Everyone gets something. You'll deal with it later.
So there.
Yeah, okay. No, debt is part of the American way.
At Manhattan's Abercrombie and Fitch, they're doing something to attract the ladies.
I think she's referring to the gentlemen who were the greeters at Abercrombie and Fitch, dressed in their underwear. It's just a gimmick to get people in the stores, perhaps a few more of the younger females. Another sign that people are inventive when it comes to getting people in their stores this holiday season, hoping to push their ledgers from the red into the black.
And this is called Black Friday because of that.
Black Friday because I wasn't listening.
What?
Black Friday because of what?
Merchants are trying to get into the black instead of the red.
Ah, I see. But, you know, it's a common misnomer.
Yes.
Wait, is it a misnomer? Is a misnomer like a myth? Or is a misnomer when you use a word? No, that's a malapropism. Okay. Anyway, here's
what's
the thing.
What's a nomer, then? If that's a misnomer, then what's a nomer?
Jesus, that's a good question.
That is a good question, isn't it?
Calling all linguists.
It's like cohorts. What are horts?
Well, completely, and can someone be corrigible? You know, we've talked about that before.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, but the point is, it's not true that today's the biggest shopping day of the year. Today's actually the fourth biggest shopping day of the year. The biggest shopping day of the year is traditionally the final Tuesday before, or the final Sunday before Christmas. That is the biggest shopping day of the year. It is not the day after, which makes sense when you think about it. Logically speaking, it doesn't seem likely. You know what it is? The business of Thanksgiving being the biggest shopping day of the year, the day after Thanksgiving, is just sort of like that, I don't know, it's like that chewing gum stays in your stomach for 7 years figure. It just was made up at some point. Or like when they say that drugs cost us $100 million a year in productivity, that somebody's pulled it out of their ass at some point, and then it just sort of stuck, it just sort of stayed there, and became a thing that everybody believes, yet it is not true. So just in case anybody asks in the future, tell them to go pound sand. They start giving you that day after Thanksgiving crap.
Well, it's becoming more and more of a PC Christmas every year. Yes, there are always some evildoers out there trying to ruin things for everyone.
And it's a little sad.
Meg Ullman thinks kids are being cheated. Her daughter's class trip to see the play A Christmas Carol was canceled. She says non-Christian parents complained about its Christmas time theme, so the school opted for something safer.
I don't know, what did they cancel seeing?
A Christmas Carol.
Well, A Christmas Carol's not Christian, though, is it?
No.
Is A Christmas Carol? I haven't seen A Christmas Carol in like 10 years.
I think it has Christian positive themes, but I mean, it's not a Christian story.
What do you mean it has Christian themes?
I don't know, like somebody helping. I don't know, somebody helping the poor kind of thing.
Because of course that's a Christian theme. That's not just a good theme.
Well,
Christians invented that.
But see, no, it's not that Christians invented it. But you know what I mean. I really don't.
No,
it is not a Christian.
You're saying
story.
It's a theme? Okay, but I mean, that's what. I don't mean to be insulting.
No,
I really don't.
Okay.
I'm just saying, this is not directed at you, Christina, as such. I'm just saying, here's the thing that bugs me. It bugs me when good and Christian are taken to be the same thing. This is not. It's not math. This isn't the correlative property. I can get that Christian means good, but good doesn't necessarily mean Christian. It just kind of bothers me when people
true.
Make that. But let me say this. The hell was I saying? Now this is Jesus. He's blinded me. He's punished. This is instant karma.
We can
Jesus.
Play the second song by
No, but here's
about.
My thing. But when I say this, does the Christmas Carol have Christian values? I mean, they don't talk about Jesus, though.
No, they don't talk about Jesus.
All right, okay, just checking. Okay, excellent.
So others say this is a good thing to cancel the Christmas Carol field trip.
America has changed and is changing. Historically, America was a predominantly Protestant country. I think we've become more aware of the fact that this is no longer overwhelmingly a Christian country, and non-Christian individuals and groups have been more willing to express their dismay at what they've always felt uncomfortable with.
Okay. That's a bunch of crap. We hear this. I'm just saying this is the same story we hear every year.
Yeah.
Every year there's some, like right on schedule, this is like the razor blade in the apple story. Just every day after Thanksgiving, we get that they're trying to remove the Christ out of Christmas, which is, and that business of the X in Xmas being that. Here's a pop quiz: why do we have X in Xmas? Does anybody know?
That makes it quicker to write.
This is directed at the people in the room here. Does anybody know why there's an X in Xmas?
I think the silence means that we don't know.
Okay. X and Xmas, despite what your mom may have... Not your mom, Christina, but I'm saying our mom, because my mom told me the same thing.
Is it anything like the X Games?
It's extreme. It's extreme Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus on rollerblades. It's extreme Christ.
You know, Jesus was a guy that had a lot of flavor. He was like snowboarding over there, you know. And
extreme religion.
Yeah, bringing it to the disciples.
If they had an extreme religion, I would totally be part of that. Well, I guess we have Islam. That counts. Anyway, what the hell am I talking about here?
Well, X and Xmas.
Oh, here's the thing about the X and Xmas. Despite what the wacko on the corner clutching the Bible and demanding you read his cardboard liturgy may tell you, they don't use the X and Xmas to get rid of Jesus. Think about it logically. If that was the case, they just wouldn't refer to Christmas at all. Do you know what I mean? Nor is it because the X is shaped like a cross. It's because in Greek, it's the first letter of the word Christos, which, of course, Christ, it's pronounced... I don't mean to sound indecorous, but that's how it's pronounced. The first letter of the word Christos is K, and it is shaped like an X. To us, we look at it as an X because we're Westerners, but it's not really an X. It's a K, which is the first letter of Jesus' name in Greek.
That was important.
You bunch of saps, not you all. I'm saying, I'm directing, because I went to a Catholic school, and we had to hear the same lecture every Christmas. That the Xmas was like deliberately put there, like in this, like in the under the cover of night, pagans came in and stole like the other letters and put in an X or something. Just insane. We're gonna get Perry in a moment. Chris, you're in Portland. You're on Hot Talk the 90KFTK. What's up?
Hey, Rick. Just was gonna tell you last night on CNN they were talking about the shopping days.
Yeah.
They were saying that today is actually by volume the biggest day.
By volume of purchases or people?
Of people. Today is the biggest volume of people, but the biggest volume of purchases occurs on Saturday, the last Saturday before Christmas.
Saturday, okay.
Followed by Sunday.
Ah, okay. All right, so today is biggest in the number of people. The number of dollars is like some other day. So it depends on how you look at it.
Excellent. The people that wait till the last minute say, Christ, it's only 5 days till Christmas. I got to go buy this stuff now.
That's you, right, Rick?
That's totally me. That's when I just go, see, now, thank you. That's Chris in Portland. See? Who has the smartest audience? I'm telling you, man.
We do.
It's just unbelievably, it's kind of disturbing sometimes exactly how much information there is in the collected brains of the Rick Emerson listening audience. But see, now I don't have to be that guy that like 2 days before Christmas at the mall. See, Amazon has rendered all of that, you know. And I'm totally their bunny. I'm totally their Nancy. You know, they just bend me over because then you can have this tomorrow for an extra $34 shipping. Me, yes, you know, just clicking on the please save me from my own slack. One more. Here's Perry in Portland.
Hey, Rick. I just wanted to check in on this post-apocalyptic Thanksgiving Friday and compare dinner with you.
Yes.
What'd you have?
We had corn and tofurkey.
You did? That's actually what you ate.
Were you listening yesterday?
Yes.
Okay. We had tofurkey and corn here. The corn, by the way, was uncanny, indistinguishable from turkey in nearly every way.
Delicious.
But is that what you had at home?
What's that?
Is that what you had at home?
No. We were boring at home. We just laid around and we had like pizza.
Oh, well, damn. My grandma decided to make a goose this year, so I don't know. It was really greasy, so all I had was mashed potatoes and bourbon.
Yeah. You can just mix those two together into sort of a sludge. Makes it it's easier and drink it with a straw then.
Right on.
Yeah, there you go. There's Perry in Portland. No, the thing is, not having kids renders holidays, a lot of holidays, less festive, I think. You know what I mean? And so Christmas is going to be big for us because she's going to... It's just a world of fun for Lara. She's going to Utah for a week before Christmas, and then the day she gets back from Utah, Kennewick, baby, like 4 days. But it's going to be just one eating, it's just going to be this one bacchanalian of just, you know, just putting away the food. And so, what the hell was my point here? Oh, but it's the same reason we don't have a tree, much less two.
Or
anything. It's because she's going to be gone the week before Christmas. Even as it is now, she's always at school. I'm always at work. Much less when she's at Utah, you know, all week. I'm going to be here all week, like even more than normally, probably, because I'll be catching all my work done. We're never going to be at home. As soon as she gets home on Christmas Eve, we're going to Kennewick for 4 days. There's no point in having decorations or anything in the house. No one's going to see them. And so the Thanksgiving holidays are just less festive when you don't have children. I'm not complaining. I think it's just a fact that a lot of holiday things are done largely for the small fry. Here's Tim Riley.
Did you say it's going to be another Kennewick Christmas?
For me?
Yeah.
Oh, it is every year for me.
How about that?
No, it sucks, man. It's like it doesn't suck that I get to see my... You know, God bless my mother. She's a sainted woman and all. But God, I just wish she'd move. I just wish she'd live in some... some better place. And my mom, she even, I don't know if I've told this before, my mom makes these occasional noises about wanting to move somewhere smaller because Kennewick is too big for her. I don't know if you've ever been to Kennewick. You know, Kennewick's a town of about 20,000 people last time. Well, when I lived there anyway. I mean, it's not a big place. But my mom goes, oh, this Kennewick, there's too much hustle and bustle. I want to move somewhere smaller. It's hard to fathom where she could move that was smaller unless she moved to an asteroid somewhere outside the, you know, outside our neck of the universe. So, anyway.
Oh, listen, tonight's the night for the tree lighting at Pioneer Courthouse Square at 5:30. Thousands of songbooks will be passed around and you're expected to sing. So show up for that. And even before that, at, let's see here, at 3:30, they're lighting the menorah at Pioneer Courthouse. Today's the first day of Hanukkah, by the way, in case you're wondering. And this weekend, if you see a glow in the sky above the West Hills, it's not a UFO, it's zoo lights. It's 150 miles of wine. I mean, wire.
I like the other one better. As long as it's Franziga.
And 500,000 lights will make up this year's holiday display at the zoo. More than $200,000 was raised at last year's event. So that starts tomorrow.
Am I to understand that there's a big light display at the dog track or horse track or whatever the hell that is?
I don't go to that side of town.
No, but... yeah, of course, because that would be trashy. Somebody told me, I think it was Laura told me that there's some big... she didn't specify what the track was, but she's like, yeah, there's a big lighting display at the track. We should go. Yeah, of course, that sounds cultured and sophisticated. There's nothing more refined than going to see a Christmas lights display at the track.
Isn't that at the PIR, usually?
The Portland International Raceway?
Yeah, all right. It's sponsored by us. So I haven't heard anything. And apparently there's a parade this morning, but I missed it.
Did parade?
Frank or...
can I tell you, even when I was a child, I don't... boy, I sound really grumpy sometimes, don't I? I don't mean to sound grumpy.
But that's all right.
I think it's just that I was always... I don't mean for this to sound like I'm... It's not even an intelligence thing. It's just that I was always sort of an adult in my tastes. I never really liked most kid things. And so even as a kid, I remember not liking parades. I think it's because I dislike other... even as a child, I disliked other children. Other children irritated me a great deal when I was growing up. For reasons that I don't really... I mean, I don't... Only my analyst knows. And so I... but anyway, so parades were just a lot of sticky-faced children... you know, with lollipops and dirt all over them. And
but so you liked Disneyland?
Nah, not so much, no.
No, I really thought that you did. Didn't you say that you enjoyed it there? Or?
No, I don't recall saying anything like that, actually. Tim likes Disneyland. Yeah. Laura loved Disneyland. I've been to Disneyland twice in my life. I went, but see, both times I went to Disneyland, I was too old. The first time I went to Disneyland, I was like 14, and at that point, you're already too old, because you just want to... you just want to be left alone to look, you know, look through the Victoria's Secret catalog at that point. But I went to Disneyland, and... you know, it was okay. The only thing that made it good was my hot cousin went along with me. But it's like, you can't... but see, that's what I'm saying. It's like, that's a road to nowhere. How sad is that when the highlight of it is your hot cousin's there? And that's just oogie on a lot of levels anyway. But, you know, what are you going to do? That's me. And so the last time I went was about 2 years ago. Laura and I were in SoCal for vacation. And it's like, we had a couple of days, you know, we didn't have anything planned. And I'm like, on a whim, I thought, well, let's go to Disneyland. Thinking I haven't been there for 15 years, it'll be fun. And it really wasn't, man. I don't like Disney, the company, the people, the group, the organization, the brainwashing society. I don't like them anyway, but that has nothing to do with why I didn't like Disneyland. I just didn't like Disneyland because it hasn't kept up with the time. You know what I mean? And it's not like I grew up on Disneyland, so it was nostalgic. It was just a bunch of outdated, creaky rides that aren't all that interesting compared to what you can see at the average county fair these days. It's like I went on the Pirates of the Caribbean and... it just, you know, you figure Disney, I mean, they've got more money than God. You figure that their rides would be up to date, they'd be interesting, they'd be cutting edge, and they're really not. It's like bad marionettes swinging back and forth on a thing, you know? It's just, there's nothing. This is Mike in Portland, full-time listener. What's up with you, man?
Oh, you know, hey, it's good to hear you guys doing live shows and all that good stuff.
Because,
I'm here slaving away.
It's because Rick Emerson cares.
That's, I know he cares.
What do you got?
And, hey, you know, I was curious, you know, you guys were... I was going to ask you yesterday, but it was too damn funny. Too much porn to download. You were talking a lot about some jocular support the other day. I was wondering if you were going to get into rectal burning next.
Is that an invitation of some sort? Or
no, I was just curious. You seemed awfully fascinated by it.
Well, no, and my only fascination was that I think, in my experience, chicks don't like guys. Chicks don't like briefs. And chicks prefer a guy to wear boxers. Chicks just find boxers more visually appealing. And so my whole deal, my whole deal was that if you're gonna wear a boxer brief combos like Matt apparently does, you might as just well wear boxers. Do you know what I mean? And if it's because you got a lack of support, if it's like that you're your boys are swinging too free, then that's just your problem. I mean, you're just not buying the right size.
You seem very fascinated with it. I wondered if rectal burning was going
to
be next.
Yeah, well, we'll try to move that. We'll move that into, like, next year. This does sound really gay, now that I actually sort of do it again. Well, the less said about that, the better. All right, it's 503-250-1080. Diana, in just a moment, is going to join us from Southeast. Every time I see the name Diana, I think of that evil reptilian Diana from the show V. It's probably not the same one. All right, more coming up. It's 503-250-1080. It's the day after Thanksgiving. We're live. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere, you know.
Live from Portland, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right. Shout It Out Loud, performed by what rock band? Christina Carlson.
Oh, don't even. I hate it when you do
that. I'll give you three choices. It was performed by A, Van Halen, B, AC/DC, C, Kiss.
Kiss.
Very good. Were you guessing?
No, I listen to AC/DC quite a bit, so I would know their sound.
You don't listen to AC/DC.
No, I really, really do. Like, my dad's in this AC/DC phase, and we're, like, you know, revisiting all the old...
My dad's in an AC/DC phase.
No. Like, my whole family is kind of revisiting the AC/DC.
The only two phases my dad had were country and western. All right. Anyway, here's Christina with the traffic.
Apparently, he's trying to relive his teenage days or something like that, so we'll kind of
see. Or mine.
Or yours, exactly. The ones that he missed out on. Anyway, things look pretty clear throughout this.
1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. So Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk Connecticut KTK. It's the day after Thanksgiving. We are here. We are live, as is our wont. More of your calls coming up. Also, top five later on, another edition of How Chicks Think with Jolie at the front desk, like us in about 2.5 or so. All right, downtown and Southeast or somewhere. I don't even know where the hell it is. Full-time listeners, Diana, what's up?
I just had to thank you for the service you provided yesterday. I needed an injection of laughter before I got subjected to the what the hell have you done to your hair and why can't you keep a man talk.
Well, I try to service women with injections whenever I can. It's a hard job. Not everybody can. No, I know. It's easier for me. Everybody thinks that I'm Bishop Sheen or something because it's just easier for me to do the show on the holiday because it's like I'm so anal retentive that it's just one less disruption to my schedule. You know what I mean?
Oh, I understand. It's so just, heck, I wish I could have gone into work. I think as opposed to yesterday.
Yeah, especially if you'd had big six packs of Jubal Ale sitting around like we did.
Yes, and of course we went to visit the Mormon contingent of the family, so no coffee, no caffeine, no alcohol.
Yeah, no fun, no.
Once I got away from, like I said, the aunties, he decided that I didn't need to have long hair, and I certainly didn't need to have it down. And, again, why can't you keep a man? It's like, well,
The thing about being Mormon is, like, being Mormon turns you into a fugitive in so many ways. Like, when Laura goes to visit her family, and she literally, like, has to sneak out at 5:30 in the morning before anybody's up to go get coffee. It's sad. But, no, I'm glad you're listening, glad you're there.
Thank you again. And I hope Big Gay Sarah survived her adventures.
Oh, Jesus, in Kennewick. I don't know. Well, I've already been committed, I think, to having dinner with her. Not that I'm opposed to it, but it's just, you know, it was one of those things where the decision was just made for me. Because she called up the show, I guess, yesterday, and she's like, yeah, I'm in Kennewick, or actually Burbank, which is this horrible town. And the idea that it's a town that's horrible, adjacent to Kennewick is, anyway. So she's in Kennewick, she's going to be there for Christmas, too, and she sent me this email, she's like, you are invited to have dinner with me and my transsexual friend in Kennewick with your, Laura, we'll do it! You know, it's like, Laura's just so desperate to find something to do while we're in Kennewick that I've... So that reservation's already been made for me. Here's Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom.
So let's talk about Henry Kissinger, since that little promotion is on everyone's mind. Christopher Hitchens, is his movie out this week?
Christopher Hitchens, who is the author of the book The Trials of Henry Kissinger, the movie of the same name opens today at Cinema 21.
So here he is on the press of Buchanan. Hitchens telling Pat Buchanan that Kissinger is a war criminal.
It's the president's contempt for what he's already announced his contempt for. He says, okay, if you want to have, I don't want a commission, and I'll show you how badly I don't want one. You have to have one, you can have Kissinger in charge of it. Will you take this insult or not? The Democrats apparently say yes, but
Christopher,
this is the contempt
this
shows for...
Bull hockey. Go Pat. Get a little saucy.
So anyway, here he is on the business of Kissinger and Associates, and conflicts of interest.
China, we know he was representing Coca-Cola to China at the time he defended the Chinese Communist Party's massacre of the students in 89. He's had a lot of Saudi clients and friends and allies before. Here's the thing. If you're a client of Kissinger Associates, you have to sign a confidentiality agreement. It may not be said who. I think he should be forced to say who his client list is now. I think that's a requirement of disclosure.
Well, exactly, because that Kissinger Associates, or whatever the name of his consulting firm is, no one knows who their clients are, but it's been pretty widely speculated, and it seems to be an open secret that a lot of them are in the Mideast, as in addition to China, like he just said. Not only that, do you have the... Well, go ahead.
Anyway, here's Bill Press on the other Kissinger books.
And sometimes paranoids have real enemies.
Even Walter Isaacson wrote a book about Kissinger. He said he's a perfect man for the job because he knows so much about U.S. intelligence agencies.
Well,
Walter's
book is very good, and I borrowed a lot from his book for mine. But it's a foolish remark for him to have made because as the Church Committee, the last inquiry into American intelligence failed, and crimes.
Frank Church?
Discovered.
The guy that gutted the CIA?
Henry Kissinger was at work with the nastiest bits of U.S. intelligence when they were breaking the law and did not make a full disclosure to the Church Commission.
Some of the reason we had 9/11 is because Church and all those guys gutted the CIA, gutted the FBI.
That's ridiculous.
Sure they did. Oh, I mean, it's not more ridiculous than what we're hearing right now.
You can't gut an agency that's already gutless like the CIA, which was already in bed with the Saudis and the Pakistanis.
I love Christopher Hitchens. Have you ever seen that guy on in a forum where he really is? He's kind of unchained. He's been on Dennis Miller. He was on Dennis Miller 4 or 5 times. He's just an amazing guest. He's a great author too. Here's one more.
On Memorial Day of last year in Paris, Mr. Kissinger fled town when he was served with a summons.
Exactly. That's what I was talking about.
Asking for his help, only his help as a witness.
Okay.
In disappearance, torture, kidnap, and murder in Chile. The judges in Chile, the magistrates in Argentina, are looking for him as a material witness, and he's refusing to answer their questions. He can't travel without advice. There are many countries he can't travel to at all. The Brazilian government recently canceled his visit.
Exactly, and it's well known that Kissinger has to consult a cadre of lawyers before he can go anywhere, because there's like 70 countries around the world that are just laying for the guy with police, because he's like in Paris, where the magistrate issued, and it wasn't like he was wanted for a crime, but they wanted him to testify, and hours before they were about to apprehend him, he like fled and he can't go back. So he's wanted by several police agencies around the world. So, of course, this is like the guy that we obviously would then choose to investigate 911 security lapses. It's just insane. I mean, it's just patently insane on the face of it. Ugh. All right.
Well, how's Zsa Zsa Gabor doing anyway? Getting better after being hurt in a car accident Wednesday. Her husband says Gabor is now breathing on her own but still can't speak. The 85-year-old suffering broken bones, cuts, bruises, but a car driven by a hairdresser slammed into a light pole in West Hollywood. I understand the engine from the car pushed forward.
Went into the front seat. Yeah, it's a bad scene.
So Gabor's daughter says her mom has a broken arm but no other serious injuries. She says reports that Gabor has been in a coma are false. So, anyway, she's been married 8 times, as we all know, and she was Miss Hungary.
You know, but the last time she was married was only, like, 10 years ago. Who marries a 75-year-old? If you can afford to marry Zsa Zsa Gabor, why would you marry Zsa Zsa Gabor, I guess is my point. Why would you be marrying a it's like that guy. Who is that guy? That guy was, like, 30 that married Martha Ray when she was, like, 80 years old?
Oh, yeah, her hairdresser.
Jesus. Well, okay. Well, maybe there's... Okay, maybe he was gay.
Wait a minute. What's the deal with hairdressers? Because wasn't she in the car with her hairdresser?
I don't know. Hairdressers are all nutty.
Did you say that? Did I hear that?
Yeah, that is true.
I just don't know how she got out of the accident with only a broken arm and whatever. Her bones have got to be half dust by now. I mean, she's 85.
No, this is misinformation. Or disinformation.
All right.
A California billing firm has agreed to give up $1.6 million to settle charges that improperly billed thousands of internet users for pornography. A privately held billing firm, Integral Incorporated, and its subsidiary, eBillet, prompted thousands of complaints in September of 2000 after they placed charges of up to $4,000 on consumers' home telephone bills without their knowledge.
That's got to be easy to explain.
Yeah. Consumers incurred the charges after visiting a website run by the British firm Verity International, which offered porno movies. Visitors were instructed to download special software, which unplugged their internal connection and routed it to the African island nation of Madagascar at a rate of $3.99 a minute. Yeah. Notification of the charge was buried in a series of 11 screens. Integral placed charges averaging $127 each on consumers' long-distance phone bills, even though the person on the phone bill was not the one who downloaded the movie.
I just don't understand the need to pay for pornography at this point. This is the great boon of the information age. The pornography is now readily... There's hot and cold running smut everywhere. You know, you pay for pornography, it's like... I don't even know what it's like. It's like... You know what it is? The entire internet community is one big pack of people that you can bum smokes from. You know what I mean? That's what the internet is. It's like, Jerry, in high school, there was always that one guy, you know, spare a joint?
Sure.
You know, and he was always, you know, there's some guy had a beer. It's like going over to the friend's house. There's always a cold one in the fridge chilling just for you. That's what the internet is with porn. You know, there's probably 10 seconds from now, I could find porn on the internet. It's everywhere. Why would you possibly pay for it? Much less in a... Imagine explaining a $4,000 phone bill to your wife, much less the fact that it's all for porn. Jesus. All right.
Well, the first issue of Playboy came out 49 years ago this coming Sunday, and one of the folks celebrating is Hefner's pal, former child actor Corey Feldman. Feldman met Hef a few years back at one of his Playboy parties, but he didn't get in good with him until just recently. Feldman says, though it's hard to wrangle Hef for a conversation at his parties, he throws better parties than anyone else in the world. So good, in fact, that Feldman says he wants to rent out the place and throw one of his own. Sadly, Feldman says that renting out the mansion is hugely expensive, so he hasn't been able to do so. He must have a new PR person.
Okay, first of all, how sad is it that Corey Feldman is, quote, in with Hefner, and we're not? We're much better and cooler than Corey Feldman.
Mm-hmm.
And we're dorks, all right?
Yeah,
and we're still better
Corey
than Corey
had all those
Feldman.
Good years, though. We're just now coming into our good years.
Yeah, but it's kind of creepy when your good years when you were like 12, and that gets you in with Hefner. That's like the Olsen twins being in good with Hefner. It's
well,
just
yeah,
kind
but
of
how,
disturbing.
But, I mean, how cool is that for him that he had all of his good years before he was like, you know, 18, 20.
Well, that's
and
true.
Then kind of fell off the map, had some cocaine
now
addiction.
He's got the back. He's coming back.
Now he's coming back. He's in with Hef. He's, you know, retired. I'd like to be retired at 28.
The other question is how much. Well, but he doesn't know like he has that much money because it says he can't afford. What's the last line there?
Feldman says renting out the mansion is usually expensive, so he hasn't been able to do so.
I wonder how much. Fathom how much money it must cost to rent out the Playboy Mansion. I can't even conjure up my brain.
When
how
you're
much
renting
money
it out, does it come with like Hef and all the bunnies?
Well, I think that's the implicit assumption is that's yeah, you're not just renting because otherwise, I mean, I guess it's cool to just have the mansion, but it seems kind of pointless if Hefner's going to be in, you know, Tibet or something while you're doing it. It seems like you're renting also his presence and the chicks. I mean, I can't even imagine how much that would cost. And I didn't even know they did it, but apparently they'll rent out the mansion for some dollar figure.
We should find out how much that is and do our next listener party there.
It's got to be the most expensive thing on planet Earth because you never hear about anybody doing it. And therefore, it's got to be prohibitively expensive for all but like a few, for like unless you're Warren Buffett.
Yeah, but I'm really saying we should do our next listener party there.
Yeah, well, yeah. We should also do it on the moon. All right. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Yeah, I'll put that on the to-do list right behind Learn to Fly. Let's see.
Is that really on your to-do list? Because there's a couple of pilots here in the station.
Down, it's way down after Sleep with Jennifer Connelly, though, so, and I got to do them in order. All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. We got more coming up, including a top five. How Chicks Think with Jolie from the front desk. Like us in about, I can't do math today. Later. Your phone
2 hours and 19 minutes.
Don't make me look bad. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Stay there.
Talk 1080 KOTK.
Does John subscribe to Playboy?
No.
Does John read Playboy?
No.
Okay, I'm not trying to irritate you.
No,
I'm just asking.
You're not irritating me. I'm just answering bluntly.
All right. And so, like if John, what would like...
Does John have a stash of Playboys that you don't know about?
By definition, she can't answer that. Would John be allowed to subscribe to Playboy? If you said, honey, what do you want for Christmas? You go, well, I've really found that Playboy's an enlightening, well-written intellectual magazine. I'd really like a subscription to Playboy. Would you get it for him?
No, I don't think I would.
You would not get your beloved a subscription to Playboy.
Who worked in ministry?
I'm just saying, even Jesus consorted with prostitutes. Well, never mind. All right, here's Christina with the traffic.
I don't know that I can answer that question. It's just, it's too big. So, some slowing.
Call now to join us, 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Seriously, have you ever seen anybody more out of it than Richard Nutt was yesterday?
Oh, my word.
I don't know what he ingested before he came to the studio, because he only
hugged
had
me like 5 times yesterday, too.
Well, that's not so uncommon.
This is very sweet.
We all try to do that. We just get rebuffed. But he only had like a beer and a half, and then he was already like going into fits of giggles during the... Anyway, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland and 1-800-727-5955. We got top five coming up later on, How Chicks Think. This is George in Southwest Portland. What's up, man?
Hello.
George.
Yeah.
What do you got?
I just want to make the comment quickly that Lycus about a year and a half ago did a listener party at the mansion, and it must have been fairly expensive because, A, he was very strict about how many visitors could come, and it was a surprisingly limited number. That's
about
all I had.
Well, yeah, so Westwood One has the money to do it. Thank you, that's true. So Westwood One has the money to do it, but, I mean, they've only done it once, so it's got to be just unbelievably expensive. Because you never hear about people renting out the place. Maybe they just try to keep it quiet that you rent it out or that it's possible or something. Because they don't want to, I don't know. There's got to be more money than anybody we know has put together. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, this is from the Russian newspaper Pravda, which means truth. Guerrillas have captured 5 more American soldiers in Afghanistan. This is an extension of the list of 40 American soldiers who have been missing for more than a year. This information published in the Pakistani newspaper Frontier Post. The above-mentioned newspaper does not inform where and when the American soldiers disappeared.
The Frontier Post.
The Frontier
Post. Does it have a charming little Norman Rockwell photo in the front of a young boy strapping himself with napalm or something?
You know, that could be, too.
Little Johnny and the country doctor wrapping themselves in dynamite.
So it is not possible to find any traces of these missing military men. American efforts to conduct negotiations regarding a possible exchange at Guantanamo Bay yielded no results either.
Well, it seems entirely likely. I mean, I know it's Pravda and all, but doesn't it seem sort of statistically likely that there are American POWs in Afghanistan?
We never hear anything about Afghanistan ever.
No, and well, that's the other thing. You notice how like we never went there? It's just like a thing we did, and now it's over and it's done.
Everything's just fine.
Yeah, everything's just stopped, and I keep a mental file in my head because just because like Clyde is paranoid doesn't mean that some of the stuff Clyde thinks about isn't true. But I keep this mental file in my head of news stories, and they're what I call them stories that fell into the black hole. There are all these news stories that were huge news, and then they just vanished, and you never heard any more about them. Here's a short list of some stories that were huge and then just inexplicably went away, never to be spoken of again. Afghanistan. The Freeman in Montana. Remember them? The Freeman? Whatever happened to them? Where did they go? Remember, it was huge news, vanished, gone. No one knows where they are. The Branch Davidians. Where did the Branch Davidians ever go? No one knows. There was like a constant, I mean, presumably they're in a jail maybe somewhere, but no one knows. So I have this huge, monstrous story, and they all just vanished. Camp X-Ray, where all the fighters that we captured are being kept. Remember how every day we were hearing Camp X-Ray up there? Now, gone. Never heard of again. It hasn't been in the news for months now. Just gone.
And now we have this new batch of Cubans that just landed in Florida with a new Elian Gonzalez, and that's gone already.
And I'm surprised they didn't talk about that because it was 3 years to the day that Elian came here. Yep. So
really?
Yeah, it was three. There was like a 12-year-old boy last week, and it's 3 years to the day that Elian got here, but it was never talked about. Nobody brought it up. So
really?
Yeah. Is it Cubans that get to stay here or Haitians?
Cubans.
Cubans get to stay here, but not Haitians.
Haitians can't. They're black.
Yeah, that's...
Oops, I didn't mean to say it that way.
That's... The views of Tim Riley do, in fact, represent the views of the Bush administration.
They
do. So, anyway.
Well, let's talk about something all-American here. Kermit the Frog learns the true meaning of Christmas as he fights to save the Muppet Theater in A Very Merry Christmas, which is on TV tonight on Channel 8. We spoke with Kermit recently. He explains the plot of the movie.
It's all about us losing the Muppet Theater, or potentially losing it, to the villain of the movie, who's actually a very nice person, played by Joan Cusack. But the villain is nasty, named Ms. Bitterman. And she's going to foreclose on her
Kermit the Frog or Tucker
theater.
Carlson?
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like Kermit the Frog to me.
It probably does to Christina because she's 12. Christina, does that sound like, when you hear that voice, do you identify that as Kermit the Frog?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I can
hear it.
Sounds
like a wannabe.
It does kind of sound a little bit different.
Okay. See, that's the thing. That's another line of demarcation.
It's a poser.
Well, it's not a poser. It's Jim Henson's kid. It's Brian Henson.
Exactly.
Because it's not Jim Henson anymore, because here's a little life lesson that we can learn from Jim. Go to the goddamn doctor. Jesus. Go. I mean, seriously, when somebody tells you you have pneumonia-like symptoms, go to the doctor. Jim Henson. No, I'm just going to take a nap. You know, the hell was that about? Anyway, so that's Brian Henson who does that now. It's like when Billy West took over the voice of Bugs Bunny. You know, there's a whole generation of kids who grow up not knowing, I guess Bugs Bunny do because it's always playing, but I mean, the whole generation of kids growing up thinking that Brian Henson, that's how it's supposed to sound. I used to be really pissed off about it, though. I used to be really angry when I would hear Brian Henson doing Kermit's voice because I was of the opinion they should have retired Kermit when Jim Henson died. I'm a little more zen about it now. I used to be really livid about it.
Well, this poor man's Kermit is thrilled about the film and he's pleased to be on TV.
Really neat to be doing a film for TV. We've never actually done a film specifically for TV before.
Close.
So I hope all our fans will watch it. I hope everybody will enjoy it for Christmas. And it's a great Christmas film.
See, that's not so terribly off.
And I think that it's kind of sweet that it's his son. And
yeah, no, I mean, if it was just some dude, I'd be...
Yeah, if it was, they just replaced him with some other person who did it really well, that would kind of irritate me, but...
Scott in the Southeast, what's up with you?
Hey, Rick, I got another story for your black hole, man. Neil Bush. What happened to that guy?
Yeah, it's true, man. He just fell off the radar.
Anyway, I just was calling to make sure that Clyde was okay.
I don't know. He might have choked on his vomit last night. Nobody's checked. We'll check.
I was planning on coming down there and hooking you guys up with my my helicopter with the bong built into it, but couldn't get the helipad lined up.
We'll be back.
It's Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.